Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. On January 17th, Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+, and we can't wait for you guys to see it.
And before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recap podcasts.
Yep. Each weekday beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring exclusive behind-the-scenes tidbits and brilliant insights from our cast and crew and us.
Patricia Arquette, Britt Lauer, Zach Cherry, John Turturro, the list goes on.
All your favorite Lumen employees, their friends, families, enemies, in your feed every single weekday.
And here's the best part. After that, we're going to keep going. Tune in weekly as we recap every episode of season 2. The podcast drops on the same day the episode comes out.
It's the Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
On Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
All right, welcome back to the Mark Cox Morning Show. Happy that you are with us, and we have got a lot to get to this hour. We're talking to Hans von Spakovsky, Nicole Murray at the bottom of the hour. Next hour, we got Bill Igel. We're going to talk to Andrew Jones, who's running for mayor in the city of St. Louis. And then next hour, we got Tom Ackerman, Jesse Jane Duff. Full show for you this morning. So we got plenty of stuff to get to. Hopefully, you're having a great Monday morning. It's going to be beautiful today. I'm in here this morning, of course, along with Kim St. Ange, Carl Middleman, Sue Thomas. And I think we've already got a bridge shut down this morning, so Sue's keeping an eye on that for you. So if you're getting up, we'll keep you updated throughout the morning, keeping an eye on what's happening. We're on the socials this morning as well, of course, Facebook, Twitter. I still call it Twitter. I'm sorry, X, Rumble, YouTube. We're interacting with you on there. I put a link, by the way, on the YouTube, on the Facebook page to the history of the Lou with Sue. She did a great interview with Chuck Berry's son this weekend that you got to listen to. So check out the link there. Maybe download that and listen to it later in the day. You can also download our podcast anytime, 971talk.com or on the Odyssey app if that's how you use it. We do appreciate that. So we will get to all of that, including more on the mayor's race here in the city of St. Louis coming up in just a couple of minutes. But first, Carl Middleman, we got some top stories to get to this morning, please.
The Mark Cox Shortlist.
Let me tell you, we have a thug in charge of the United States.
Oh, yeah. Jasmine Crockett, the congresswoman from Texas, is mad at Donald Trump. He's a bully, apparently, for demanding justice with our trading partners in North America.
Well, we here in Illinois follow the law. They don't seem to believe in that at the White House. Consistently, they've been breaking the law, and they've put in place unconstitutional orders.
J.B. Pritzker, your governor, if you're listening to me over there in the great state of Illinois this morning, the People's Republic, that guy right there is running for president. Take my word for it. Take it to the bank. He's already got his name on the list for 2028.
I am announcing Canada will be responding to the U.S. trade action with 25% tariffs against $155 billion worth of American goods.
Wow. How about that? That is Justin Trudeau. He's firing back. You're going to be paying more for your maple syrup very shortly, eh?
We may have short-term some little pain, and people understand that. But long term, the United States has been ripped off by virtually every country in the world. We have deficits with almost every country. Not every country, but almost.
Wow. President Trump last night, when he got off an airplane and spent a few minutes talking to the media, takes all questions. He doesn't discriminate. He wants people to understand what's going on. May cause a little bit of pain. Don't panic. My eggs cost more, say the liberals right now. How come he hasn't done anything for egg prices when it's the Biden administration that massacred millions of chickens, and therefore your egg prices are a bit higher as a result of that? So, yeah, you might see a little bit of pain, but you got to look at the end goal here. If Donald Trump gets the border more secure and more fair trade practices with our trading partners and fewer fees in the Panama Canal, I mean, there's so much happening. It's enough to make a liberal's head spin off the top of their shoulders. They don't know what to complain about next. I mean, I joked this weekend, the fasten seatbelt sign is on. If you don't sit down and buckle up, your head's going to hit the ceiling. There's no doubt about it. Speaking of which, Kim, heads are going to roll over what's going on in the city of St. Louis. We've talked about this a lot. I kind of wonder, on the poll I'm going to tell you about right now with the mayor of St. Louis, I kind of wonder if it's not the snow problem that has contributed to this poll. That came at a very bad time for Mayor Tashara Jones. Very bad. She's tried her best to dole out public money, whether it's COVID aid or Ram settlement money, to her political constituents. She's tried desperately to pay off the crowd so that that they'll be happy and they'll vote for her in the mayoral election coming up in April. Apparently it's not working. Have you seen this poll that's out by Channel 5?
I did.
It's pretty amazing. I've got it here in my fingers here this morning. My formerly fish smelling stained hands, because we caught a lot of crappie yesterday at the Lake of the Ozarks. But I'll save that story for later. Mark Maxwell, new poll in the STL mayor's race. Kara Spencer, 50% favorable rating. Tashara Jones, 21% favorable rating. But more important is her unfavorable rating. In this poll, 62% of people had an unfavorable opinion of the mayor. Only 18% had an unfavorable opinion of her primary opponent as a Democrat, which is Kara Spencer. Now, Michael Butler is running as well. And he's been a statewide, he's been in the state house. We've had him on the show before in the past. And he was going to run the Democrat Party in Missouri for a while. I think Michael Butler did that. He has only a 13% favorable rating, but 75% of the people apparently don't know who he is. They had no opinion on him at all. So you got to kind of figure he's almost an also-ran in this race right now. And then there's the Republican, Andrew Jones, who did also only 73% of the people had no opinion. Now, we're going to have Andrew on later. He's run several times for mayor. Great guy, impressive guy. But he's a Republican running in a vacuum of progressive liberal politics in the city of St. Louis. So we're going to have him on to talk about the issues he thinks are important, maybe about why Megan Green threw a hissy fit and stormed off the floor of the Board of Aldermen on Friday. I'm not getting my way. I'm just going to shut down debate, and we'll come back Tuesday and we'll talk about it again, which I guess she has the power to do. I don't know. It's not a good look. But this is not this is a surprise, and this poll is a surprise in my opinion.
I think you're right about the timing of it, with how terrible the handling was of the snow and ice and how frustrated many people were. You'd think that with her knowing she's up for re-election, that she would have handled that situation better. Even if they dropped the ball at first, she could have come out and said, you know what, we could have done better, and we're going to do better starting right now, and I'm going to make sure that happens. And she really didn't. She almost, and I think the term gaslit, you know, if you're gaslighting someone, I think that can be overused, but she kind of did that. She kind of made it seem like to the residents that the city was doing everything they could, and here are the reasons why they can't do more. And it just is bogus, because somehow these residents have been able to figure out a solution, and sadly that took, in some cases, them putting their own money together in addition to taxes they already paid to the city to do that type of stuff. They had smaller trucks going through before the city did the same thing. So you know what? She dug her own grave, and she's been, in my opinion, of course, I think she's been a terrible mayor, but it's been crazy to me that people are still supporting her, just like Sam Page. I think he's been awful as county executive, and yet somehow he was elected to that position.
And I make this observation as someone who works in the city and has for a long time, don't live in the city, right? But if you work here and you pay your earnings tax, I'm a city taxpayer. I have a right to my opinion as well. This opinion, though, on what might have caused her sudden high disapproval numbers came from a city resident. I was at a party Saturday night, and a couple of the guys that were there lived in the city, and they both brought up the street issue. It is still, people are still raw about that, even though we've had 60-degree weather and most of the ice has melted now. they were still angry about it. And I think that was a reflection of what we see in this poll. I think city residents who will get to vote, I will not in the city mayoral election, even though I pay taxes, they're angry about that. So I just wanted to point that out. All right, coming up, we'll get to Hans von Spakovsky. The Democrats are now talking about trying to go to the legislature to ban the president from being able to impose tariffs on Mexico and Canada. Can Schumer do that? I don't know. We'll ask Hans when we come back. Stay tuned.
Let's just take Super Bowl Sunday, okay? It's going to affect beer, okay? Most of it, Corona here, comes from Mexico. It's going to affect your guac, because what is guacamole made of? Avocados, both from Mexico.
Hans von Spakovsky, you know, the former emperor of the Austro-Hungarian Empire.
Hans, I'm going to open up a Corona on Super Bowl Sunday and toast you, just so you know.
Yeah, everybody's all upset about the president using his emergency powers to impose tariffs on Canada, Mexico. But look, you know, he's got very good reasons for them. Canada, for example, has all kinds of barriers to the U.S. You know, there are Canadian banks throughout the U.S. There are no U.S. banks in Canada because the Canadians keep them out. Mexico is the place where fentanyl, almost all of the fentanyl coming into the U.S. flows through Mexico. And where is it coming from? China. China produces like 90% of the fentanyl in the world, much more than is needed for actual medical reasons. And why are the Chinese doing that? Well, we all know they see us as their adversary, and they produce it intentionally, ship it to Mexico intentionally, so it'll come into the U.S. and, frankly, you know, poison our youth and people who use it. So I don't see a problem with the president using his emergency powers for this reason.
So Chuck Schumer said yesterday, one reason I played his bite there is that, you know, I get it. When Joe Biden was president, the Republican attorneys general from across the country certainly used the courts to try to attack his policies. Schumer suggested that he would try legislatively to get some sort of bipartisan legislation that would somehow restrict Trump's ability to do this. Would that be trying to, I mean, he has a constitutional power that he's using to do this, emergency power, right? Is there any way legislatively they could prevent him from doing this?
Well, yeah, I mean, they could withdraw, amend the law that he's using to do it. But I don't think that they've got, frankly, the political power to do it. There are too many Republicans in Congress who are going to say, no, we don't want to do this, particularly if it's helping manufacturers and others in the United States.
Yeah, it's a good point.
Hans, I still think sometimes about all these crazy pardons that Joe Biden gave to so many people before he left office, including his brother and Anthony Fauci. I mean, you name it. You know, obviously that protects him federally, but it does not from any sort of state litigation, right? And they obviously can't plead the fifth. So, I mean, what would that take if, say, Missouri wanted to pursue that against Anthony Fauci? Would it require our Attorney General Andrew Bailey to say, hey, you hurt Missourians because of your policies? Or what would that take in order to do that?
Yeah, the answer to that is yes.
How likely is that you think that that could come?
You know, it is very, very tough for states to prosecute federal officials for things that they did when they were federal officials. There are many, many cases on this going back a long way in our history. It's extremely difficult to do. The courts frown on it. So I just, even though it might make everybody feel good, and there are good reasons for potentially going after a very obnoxious know-it-all guy who I think hurt a lot of people because of that obnoxiousness, I just don't think it's really much of a viable route to go after
for them to do that. You know, I was reading your piece the other day. When we had you on last week, you told me you were going to be putting a piece up regarding birthright citizenship. And I mean, it's pretty fascinating. Everybody seems to think this is some sort of a slam dunk, I think, Hans, that if the United States, because it's in the Constitution, doesn't have the ability to alter this. But it gets down to what the intent was of the 14th Amendment, correct?
Well, yeah. Plus, it's a worse interpretation of the current language. Look, in the first here's the important point. In the first 100 years of the application of the 14th Amendment, everyone from government officials to law professors, they would have been astounded at anyone claiming that it provided citizenship to the children of aliens in the country illegally. That was not the view of it, and it was only starting apparently in the Roosevelt administration that the government started saying, "Oh, you know, we're gonna misinterpret the 14th Amendment. We're gonna provide citizenship to the children of aliens and foreigners who are here." Everybody now thinks, well, that must be the way it is, but it's not, and that's not what the 14th Amendment means. And if and when this gets to the Supreme Court, if they go with the original intent and the actual language of the amendment, Trump will win this case.
Wow. I think that's great. And if you're having this argument with your friends, go to heritage.org and read the article that Hans and Amy Schwerer put up about this birthright citizenship clause. Too many forget, but Trump is right to question. And it's an interesting background for you to have, because you're going to hear a lot about this from your friends over the water cooler for sure. Hans, thank you.
Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. You bet. Heritage.org, The Daily Signal. He often writes pieces for TheDailySignal.com. It'll give you an opportunity to go in and read that. But he's right. It's like this was put in place to help to erase any question about the fact that the children of slaves who were brought here against their will were considered U.S. citizens, brought here against their will being the key part of that sentence. That's why it was written in there like that. Not for you to come here illegally of your own volition and have a child, and suddenly that child is a resident of the United States. Never what it was intended for. And if the court interprets the intention, Donald Trump wins that suit, and was very smart to make that executive order and get that challenge going. All right, coming up, Nicole Murray is in. We'll get a check of business. In other news with Ethan about 15 minutes after that. We'll be right back. Carl, of course, a historian for music, tells me this is the day the music died, in 1959, when the yes. plane went down, right?
Wow. Richie Valens, the Big Bopper, and Buddy Holly.
Wow. Hey, by the way, did you hear this over the week? It's kind of loud. I'm gonna bring this up slowly, Carl, as it plays here. But hang on, what have I done? The protests in L.A. Did you see any of that video this weekend? It was pretty amazing.
Crazy.
All of these people 2 hours north of the Mexican border who came out to protest against the lockups and the people being deported and all that stuff, and they blocked a major freeway in L.A., right? For an hour and a half, traffic was backed up, completely blocked. The police were out there in force, and not a single person got arrested. I'm going to let that hang out there for a minute. Not the L.A. mayor, no doubt, Karen Bass, called the police and told them to leave. And the people on the highway were just hosed. There are laws against you can't ride a bike on the highway. You can't walk on a highway. You can't block a highway. There are all kinds of laws against that. And they did nothing. And you know, it's a direct reflection on the leadership in the city of L.A. They're mad at Donald Trump, and they wanted to let people go out there and show their rear ends on a major freeway in downtown L.A. I don't know if you noticed that or not, but that's what happened this weekend. Not a single
Not a single arrest, not a single charge, disturbing the peace, nothing. Just get ready for it. There's going to be more of it in cities across America, I'm sure, now that they've seen what happened in L.A. So that's what they did this weekend. Let's check in with Nicole Murray. How was your weekend, Nicole?
I didn't sleep enough, so I need a nap.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I got to go fishing yesterday. I had a great day yesterday.
Oh, very
nice. It was 60 degrees, 65 degrees here. We drove a couple hours to a lake with my buddy's got a boat, and we caught a mess. I'll call it a mess. 15, 16 good-sized crappie, which are really good-eating fish. And they're in my refrigerator, and I'm planning to fry them up and eat them. So
lovely. I stopped listening after the 60 degrees part. I'm so jealous. We got snow last night.
It's going to be 70 here today.
You know, and then
it's
mean.
And then it's going to drop through the floor, and we're going to get snow sometime in the not too distant future. So there you have it. It's coming.
Ooh.
So we're going to enjoy it while we can, right?
Ooh. My goodness. It's all over the place. I can't keep up.
Yeah. What else you got going on?
All right. So futures are sharply lower after President Trump implemented new tariffs. Friday, the Dow Industrials lost 337, the NASDAQ down 54, the S&P 500 down 30. Trump has signed an order imposing 25% tariffs on Mexico and Canada, as well as a 10% duty on China. As a result, stock futures fell and oil prices rose after the U.S. imposed the tariffs. The NASDAQ fell by more than 2%. While the S&P 500 and Dow Industrials slid by 1.6% and 1.1% respectively. In response to the recently imposed tariffs, Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau announced retaliatory tariffs of 25% against the $155 billion worth of U.S. goods. Mexico also vowed retaliation, although President Claudia Sheinbaum did not reveal specifics. China, meanwhile, stopped short of an immediate escalation. Shares of auto giants fell sharply this morning as President Trump imposed long-threatened tariffs on goods from Canada, Mexico, and China. General Motors was 6.6% lower, while Ford was more than 4% lower. House Republicans are considering treating work benefits such as employer-provided transportation, free food, and on-site gyms as a new source of taxable income to help pay for President Trump's tax cuts. These tax proposals are still in the early stages. DreamWorks Animation's Dogman fetched $36 million in ticket sales at the weekend box office, according to studio estimates. It is so far the biggest debut of 2025. And finally, you may want to shut off that alarm in the morning. This is because a new study says that people who wake up early in the morning actually waste more time than those who wake up late.
Do you feel that way?
I definitely see where it's coming from, because if you wake up early, you're like, oh, I have all this time, all these hours to kill. I'll have my coffee. I'll do this. I'll do that. Versus getting up at 10 or 11. You feel like you've wasted time. Let's get to it.
Yeah, maybe that's why. Maybe that's the difference. But when you have to get up that early, you don't have time to waste time. Right. I mean, I sleep. I could probably sleep an extra 20 minutes longer than I do. But I need the time.
Is that all?
Wake up.
My husband gets up at 5, I think I've said this, and he gets our son up around 7. So he has 2 hours, and he is incredibly productive. I've been very impressed. I mean, it's totally changed his day and our day, because he gets everything, like working out and reading. He does all that stuff in the morning before his day even really starts. And so now he's not coming home from work and feeling like he has to make time to do it then, which has been a huge blessing.
People who can be that productive when they first wake up, I feel like they are a special breed of people.
Yeah.
Yep.
I'm with you. I know a couple people like that. They get up at the crack of well before the crack of dawn and work out, or you know, take some time to meditate or read their Bible or whatever it is that they're planning to do. And that's just not me. If I didn't have to get up at 3 for this job,
they're less stressed going into the work day. But for our schedules, it'd be very hard to get up at one or two
and work out before
coming. There's no way I would do that.
How about you, Nicole? You gonna try that?
Would I work out at 2 a.m?
Before you come to work?
How do I answer this without violating any national laws of what I can say over the air? Absolutely not.
Oh, heck no. No, not a chance, huh?
Absolutely not. No.
I
I'm not even anyone who like does makeup or jewelry or anything. Like, I throw my hair in a bun for this job and I just kind of come rolling in however I am. And the boys just have to deal with it. So it is what it is.
Exactly. Well, cool. Thank you. Have a great day. We'll see you on Wednesday.
Thank you very much.
You bet. Nicole Murray there. Dealing with snow this morning. We're living large, man. 70 degrees today. Did we say we're going to be pushing a 135-year-old record, Carl?
Yes,
is that possible?
That's what your friend Matt Chambers said. But he also said then freezing rain on Wednesday night.
Well, must be climate change.
I was going to say, I'm sure we'll hear that.
Maybe. So did you read the hubbub on Friday about the El Mogwai shutting down out in St. Charles County?
Yeah, it was O'Fallon, Missouri. It was three employees, and the article I read said that they took them into custody, and then within a day or two, they were back at work because supposedly they couldn't find a criminal record. So it sounds like they were probably still illegal, which in my opinion would be still, you still committed a crime, but they couldn't find like a, you know, murder or drug charges or anything to keep them in custody.
Darn it, Kim, they make a good salsa burrito.
Their chips and salsa are really good. I used to live by an El Mogwai growing up. See, now you've got me going on this tangent. They're really good. I love a good quesadilla.
Yeah, I'm obviously being sarcastic there. I if you were here illegally, the fact that you got arrested by ICE should not be a surprise. The flaw in our system, in my opinion, is that now that you were caught, you weren't given a court date until December. We are so backlogged in this country dealing with people who are not legally residents and not allowed to be here that we've got a court backup until December. For the three people who were questioned at the El Mogwai and then released later in the day. And the newspaper only focuses on the daughter who was frantically looking for dad. You had to have thought somewhere in the back of your mind this was always a possibility because dad wasn't in the country legally, or mom, or whoever, grandma, abuela, whoever it happens to be. I mean, I read the story with shock and awe. And I know people that went to the restaurant that night, and there was a lady there who gave them a $50. She bought a $50 gift card just to support the restaurant and then gave it to somebody as she was walking out the door. She only went for one reason, to show her solidarity with the people who are here illegally. What's wrong with these people? I'm sorry. This might happen elsewhere. I mean, obviously, they're looking for people they already have deportation orders against. They must have thought there was someone at the restaurant that fit that bill. When they went there, they questioned them and determined that that was not them, and they released them and gave them a court date. Now, will they show up in Kansas City in December? I doubt it. But I think once you skip your court date, they it gives them the ability to take more aggressive action against you.
Yeah,
and maybe lock
they?
You up next
because
time.
They're still
well,
so
under
back.
Trump, I think they might.
I hope so.
They're supposed to be looking how they can get more immigration judges and move these cases along a little bit faster. I, you know, go vote with your pocketbook. If you want to go to El Mogwai and keep enjoying the food, I've been there many times. I've enjoyed the food myself. I have no problem with that at all. But don't be surprised if the people with Immigrations and Customs Enforcement quit shortening the name to ICE. Immigrations and Customs Enforcement were doing their job when they went to El Mogwai and were questioning people who were in the country illegally. I had zero empathy for that situation. Sorry about that. I know you love Mexican food, but that's irrelevant right now. All right, we'll get to a break here. We have Ethan on the other side of the break with In Other News. Top of the hour, Bill Igel announcing the next political position that he's planning to run for after losing out on the Missouri GOP job. We'll be back in just a minute.
What's happening?
Go, you know the thing.
What the hell is going on?
In other news.
Let's talk the 2025 Grammys, Mark.
Please. What was I listening to there,
by
the way?
Kendrick Lamar and his song Not Like Us, which dominated last night. He won five awards, including Song and Record of the Year for his Drake diss track. Beyonce made history winning Album of the Year with Cowboy Carter finally in Best Country Album. It looks like rising star Sabrina Carpenter and Chapel Rowan, I always say her name wrong, Roan, they both secured wins, while Taylor Swift and Billie Eilish were notably absent from the winners list.
Are we talking about who won the country category?
Yeah, that was Beyonce.
How did she make history?
She finally won her album of the year, which she has never won before.
But I mean, how is that history?
It's just history, Kim.
Because I'm sure people are saying that, like they want to credit Beyonce with like, paving the way, and it's like that. How
first
is,
black woman to win?
I'm sure they are going to say that.
Yeah,
is she?
Why does it? So. Like, I'm sure. Is it, it's not based on record sales, right?
No,
because there's no way that outsold some of the biggest country hits this year,
like right. Morgan Wallen.
Yeah. It's just not.
Or even Post Malone, for that matter.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm not a country music fan. I listen on occasion if I'm depressed. But other than that, I'm just saying.
I'm sure Morgan Wallen and those who actually are country artists were rolling their eyes.
Probably. Whatever.
Looks like Costco has announced hourly raise wages for hundreds of thousands of workers in the U.S. and Canada starting in March. Top-tier clerks will see their pay increase to nearly $32 an hour, with other positions also receiving raises ranging from 50 cents to $1 more per hour.
Wait, the people checking you out are going to be making $30 an hour?
Well, it just said top-tier clerks. It didn't really say if it was the cashiers. It's just people, I guess, working there.
$30 an hour is a pretty good salary. And you know what this means? Our prices are probably going to go up.
Yeah, they're not
going
to be able to keep that $1.50 hot dog for very long at this rate.
Well, this move comes amid ongoing negotiations with the Teamster Union, so that might
But there's not even a lot of Costco employees who are in the union. It's not like SAG-AFTRA where everyone pretty much in the industry is in it. It's only a handful of people, I believe, who work for Costco who are part of that.
Yeah. I will say this, though. Costco has been known always for having high pay. So a lot of people, if you were looking for a job, you went to Costco. It looks like Barnes & Noble plans to open around 60 stores in 2025, continuing its significant expansion after adding 57 U.S. locations last year. Now, this is saying it's... A lot of this is coming from BookTok. Now, if you've never heard of them, it's a TikTok book community. They're driving sales and reader engagement. They're pushing people to go back into these brick-and-mortar stores. Barnes & Noble are setting up actual stands that say, you know, hashtag BookTok and have all their books on there. So,
but they're smaller than they used to be. It's not like the one like at West County Mall. That one's pretty big. The one that they have... I want to say the Galleria is like smaller. It's like half the size of
really?
It.
Really?
Huh.
Honestly, one in Fenton's huge.
The coffee shops, I think, draw people in because it's just it's a soothing place to sit. Like, I find that cozy.
I use my Kindle so much, I haven't read a hard copy book in ages.
Well, I like the hard copy. I don't think I'd like a Kindle.
And you know, I hate to admit this It's admitting my age. However, I like the Kindle because I can increase the font size. It's convenient. I can carry it with me anywhere. It's backlit. I'm doing a commercial for them here. But if I'm just opening up a regular hard copy book, unless it's a full-size hardcover book, it's not easy for me to read.
Well, Mark, I know what we can get you for your birthday coming up in July. Yeah, do you
a magnifying glass?
I was going to suggest the Jitterbug phone.
Oh, thank you so much.
Wow, that's...
Wow.
But you could get a large book from the library.
Yeah. I'm just going on Amazon and ordering, downloading them from my Kindle. Just easier.
A former U.S. Postal Service worker has admitted to stealing over $100,000 worth of sports memorabilia while working as a mail sorting clerk. Federal prosecutors revealed that the theft occurred between September and December of 2022, with at least 10 parcels containing... trading cards, jerseys, and other collectibles were stolen from New Jersey Post Office. The guy's in trouble.
So somebody stuffed in to arrive and
this
they finally
it
investigated
all.
It, and there's some dude throwing it in the back of his backpack as he leaves.
How are you walking out with all this stuff? It must have been small enough to conceal in a little bag. Because otherwise, wouldn't people notice you're hauling a bunch of stuff out to your car?
Well, I mean, trading cards and stuff are going to be small.
Yeah.
That'd be easy to do.
Jerseys you can lot up. An awkward incident on Carnival Cruise Lines has sparked debate over cabin privacy etiquette. A woman and her partner accidentally left their balcony curtains open on the Carnival Liberty, leading to an unattended exhibition when they walked around naked in the morning. The nearby Carnival Legends guest reportedly enjoyed the show, and then the woman suggested that the crew should remind passengers to close their curtains when docking.
You think?
It's not the crew's fault. This is your fault.
So the window faced in and not out?
It's just like a porthole window, another boat saw him across the way.
All right, coming up, we'll talk to former Missouri Senator Bill Eigel. Stay tuned.
Get more at 971talk.com.